Come on, Dr. Dre, let's get this party started, bro.
Oh, yeah. It's here. It's time. Rob, you awake, Rob? I'm just making sure, man. I was, like, ready to crank this party up, man. Are you awake? You ready?
Oh, man, I'm ready, Doc. Let's get this party rolling, man.
Of course, welcome to everyone. Welcome, America. Today is, of course, Wednesday, August the 13th, and you are talking sports with the 12th, man. We are always excited to be here doing our thing. Of course, we know we like to keep it going on Tuesdays, but we appreciate your patience as we kind of switch nights, you know, obligations, whatever. I'm on the road. I am in Jacksonville, Florida, doing some scouting, but, you know, what can I say? So I got to check in. I'm Andre Peterson, joined by my co-host, Robert Porter, and you are talking sports with the 12th man. So,
making friends with Gus Bradley down there.
I'm talking to Gus, as a matter of fact, doing some talking here. Hopefully I can help out Blaine Gabbert. I don't know, but... So we're out, man. So that's what we do. Talking to Maurice Jones-Drew as well. But without further ado, I got to introduce my co-host, checking with him, Mr. Robert Ford. How are you doing this evening?
Man, couldn't be better, Doc. Ready to talk some sports. We got an NFL heavy show tonight. A lot of training camp talk, and we're gonna get into analyze some of the best big uglies in the NFL too.
Best big uglies. I mean, I don't really know how to set that up. But anyway. That's what we do. For those who want to call into the show, give us your thoughts, tell us all that fun stuff. The number to call on the show is, of course, 424-243-9519. And, of course, you can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/12ManSports, as well as we're on Twitter, too. So that's you just click on @ and then 12THMANSports, and you will be able to find us. So let's jump right in. So we got a lot of things to talk about, Rob. You know, as we always do. So let's talk about this. And I think I want to start off with, I know we were talking about, you said that it was going to be a very, very NFL-heavy show, which is great, man. NFL season is upon us. We've got some preseason games. And there's a couple of things that have been going on. Obviously, if you are in Washington, D.C., you're kind of curious about the RG3 and the decisions as far as Mike Shanahan. I don't know if you had a chance to see the game, Rob, on Pat White's doing some good things. I thought he kind of disappeared out of the league, but he looked really good. But I guess the question I'm going to ask, is Mike Shanahan making the right decision to hold out RG3? So let's get your thoughts, and I'd like to share my thoughts afterwards, sir.
Yeah, one other quick announcement I'd like to make for any of our listeners that's interested in joining our fantasy football league, please tweet us or send us messages on Facebook with your email address so we can send you invitations. To the 12-man sports fantasy football league. We're also going to have a survival league that we're going to be sending out as well. So once again, if anyone is interested, please tweet us your email addresses or send us messages to our Facebook page with your email addresses. But getting to the Mike Shanahan RG3 situation, I actually think Mike Shanahan is doing the right thing the way he's handling the RG3 this preseason here. Got an opportunity to see him work out and practice a little bit, and he still seems a little gimpy to me. And I would play it perfectly safe with RG3 here in this preseason, make sure he's completely as close as 100% healthy before he takes the field. I would not play him in the preseason at all. I think it's too risky. He doesn't look very fluid to me in his movements. He seems a little gimpy still. So I think Shanahan, even though RG3 wants to play, I think sometimes head coach has to make an executive decision, and I think he's making a good one right now. Well, being safe, I mean, RG3 is a franchise for the Redskins right now, so you got to protect him and get him healthy for the regular season. So I think he's doing the right thing.
Yeah, I got to say, in this instance, I think that it's one of the situations where I think he learned from last year, Rob. I think a lot of times players get excited. They don't want to come out of the game. And not to keep bringing up last year, but I think RG3 kind of talked him into playing, and he kind of made himself worse. And Shanahan was like, you know what, in this instance, just to make sure that we protect our investment, we're going to let you sit out for the preseason. And we know that they're pretty much meaningless games in this instance. So, I agree. I think that he's definitely making the right move, closing him out. You would like for him to get, obviously some more repetition. Hopefully he'll get a lot of reps in practice. And this time, you don't want to hurt him for kind of something that's kind of meaningless. So I agree with you wholeheartedly as far as that was a wise decision from Mike Shanahan. And also as well, just kind of tag team what you said as well, definitely let us know as far as joining our fantasy league. We're excited about that, the Survival Leagues. We had some fun last year, so keep it going. We'd love for our listeners to become involved with our Talking Sports Fantasy League. Moving right along, let's keep it going with the Kansas City Chiefs. And obviously, Jamaal Charles had a strained foot. He's taken out of preseason. What do you think about this? Is it going to be a problem? Should they be concerned about this? Or do you think Andy Reid kind of has a backup plan for this?
Well, I think obviously you want to take as much precaution as possible. I think Jamaal Charles is due to have a breakout season in Andy Reid's offense. I think they're going to utilize him a lot in the running game as well as the passing game. And he seems to look fairly well prior to the strained foot. He was looking very explosive and healthy. And I kind of believe he's going to be a top three or five running back. So I think you take precaution. But I don't think this is going to be that big of a setback for Jamaal Charles and the Chiefs. Like I said, I think he's going to have one of the most productive. I think he's going to be a top three or top five running backs in the NFL this season. This guy is a threat to take it to the house anytime he touches the football. And I think he's got that explosion back from the injury he had a couple of years ago. And look for him to have a big year, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I definitely agree with that. Obviously, the way that if you've been watching a lot of Andy Reid's offenses, he definitely is a fan of getting running back and stuff like that, getting them involved with little screen passes and whatnot. I think he has a good. I think he does a good job, Rob, of incorporating a lot of weapons as far as his offense. So, especially if you're Alex Smith and you want to dump it off, so I think it's a great move too. So, a lot of things too. I love this too, man, because I'm getting texts, Rob. If you didn't know. One of our Philadelphia Eagles fans, they're talking a lot of junk. He basically said, this is my chat, my guy Richmond. He's basically saying that the Philadelphia Eagles are going to crush RG3 in week one, man. So I don't know if you want to talk about that. I think it's pretty funny that he's pretty confident. I would say hopefully the Eagles are going to have some challenges as far as who their quarterback is, but that's a whole other thing altogether. What do you think about his statement as far as the crushing of RG3 in week one?
It's interesting. I think both of those franchises are going to get off to a slow start this year. I think both the Redskins and the Eagles are going to get off to a slow start this year for various reasons. Obviously, one of those teams have to win that first game unless it ends in a tie, of course. And so one of those teams will start 1-0. But I think they're going to struggle a little bit out of the gate. I'll start with the Philadelphia Eagles. I think it's just going to take Chip Kelly a little while to get used to the pro game a little bit and figuring out his personnel, who he wants to play at the quarterback position. And I think the Eagles are going to get off to a slow start. So I know we got a lot of, Eagles fans in the Philly area listening to the show. May not want to hear me say that, but, that's just the way I envision it shaking out. I think they're going to start off slow. And I think the same thing for the Redskins for a different reason. I just think it's going to, be a few weeks before RG3 gets into game shape and things like that, getting healthy. And so I just think that they're going to get off to a slow start as well. Obviously, like I said, one of those teams is going to start 1-0 because they're playing head-to-head. but I don't see if these two teams have success this year, I don't see it start shaking out for their favorites like week 5 or 6.
I like this too. So, I got to give a lot of love to Richmond. I know I give you a hard time. He's giving us some good texts right now. Basically, he says that he thinks RG3 needs to get hit in preseason to kind of get over that initial shock. So do you think that's a good option? And also, he's predicting that the Chiefs are going to be 4-12. He said the offense for the Chiefs kind of look like a mess right now. Wow, he's kind of firing off. I don't know if this is just an angry Philadelphia Eagle fan or just taking shots, or I know it kind of threw two questions out there. So we love the interaction, Scott. Keep it going, too. So what do you think about his comments right there?
Well, I don't necessarily think RG3 has to get hit, because when you really think about it, I mean, these quarterbacks are wearing red jerseys in training camp. They don't get hit until they get into an actual game for the most part. So I don't think that's going to be that big of a factor as far as him needing to get hit in the preseason. I don't think that's going to be that big of a deal. And getting to the Kansas City Chiefs, yeah, it sounds like he's been an Eagles, an Andy Reid hater. I actually think the Chiefs have an opportunity to win 10 games this year. I really believe that. I think they got a lot of talent on defense. And I think Alex Smith is steady enough to run that offense. Jamal Charles, Dwayne Bowe, they got a solid offensive line. I think they have an opportunity to make the playoffs as a wild card. They won't win their division. I think the Broncos are still the team to beat to win the division. But I think the Chiefs got a strong chance of going 9-7, 10-6, and making the playoffs as a wild card.
What do you think about week 3, Kansas City at Philadelphia? Who do you think is going to win that?
Kansas City at Philadelphia. I'm going with the Chiefs.
Are they playing? Let me check and see where it's going to be at. Yeah, it's going to be at Philly, too. So that's what it's going to be.
I don't care
Philly,
where it is. I think Chiefs will beat them.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, man. I love it, man. We're going to keep it going, too. So
I hope a whole bunch of Philly fans don't send us a whole bunch of nasty messages.
Oh, man. I love it. So we're going to keep going, as always. And I think this is pretty cool because we've got some options here as far as some rankings to talk about. Like you said, Scott Richmond, we love you, bro. We're gonna show you some love too. Let's keep it moving, Rob. Obviously, we're gonna talk about fantasy football. As I segue into that, I'm gonna throw out the numbers in probably about 2 minutes or so. But as we mentioned, definitely feel free to jump in, tell us your thoughts. If you want to join us in the league, we'll send some information about that as well. And let's talk about this. Let's talk about who should be the number one pick in fantasy football this year. Now, I feel a little nervous about this because, I don't want to give away, some valuable information about who the number one pick should be. But anyway, I'm going to defer to you, Rob, as always. Who do you think should be the number one pick and all that good jazz?
Well, I don't think it's really giving out a whole lot of information because I guess once you have the number one pick, it is what it is. But I'm going to say the guy you want to take if you have the number one pick in fantasy football is Adrian Peterson. And I think, he's got an opportunity. They're going to get him the football on both the running game and the passing game. He is that Viking offense, and he may have over 2,000 to 2,500 total purple yards this year. And so I think if you have the number one pick in fantasy football, that's the guy you want to take. That's the guy you want to be your workhorse on your fantasy football team. And that's just my opinion. Hopefully I didn't give out too much information to my competitors in fantasy football. But I think Adrian Peterson would be the guy you would want to take if you have the number one pick.
Yeah, I mean, I actually, everyone that listens to America, a lot of times me and Robbie, we kind of go off and we do some different things here. I definitely think that I agree with you in this instance in that Peyton Manning should be number one. It could be a toss-up, too, with Arian Foster, like I said, it can go either way in that, but if you're going you got the number one pick in our league, especially if your name is Robert Ford, I think I know where you are going, but it is what it is. Let's keep it going, though, as always. And I want to throw out the numbers real quick for those that are listening in. Definitely give us your thoughts. Is Robert Ford crazy? I don't know. The number to call into the show, it's 424-243-9519. And I know this is I'm getting like a lot of good texts. You know, we always enjoy this too. So I love the fact that Scott Richmond once again, Rob says that Peyton Manning he felt better after his first preseason game last year because he's coming off the injury too. So we'll see how that plays out. If he's serious about that, I guess he's a little excited about this too. But you know, we enjoy that as well.
Hey, just good dialogue, Scott.
we always enjoy it, no, on a serious note, too. Let's kind of talk about some big uglies here. And once again, we're having some fun with this. And this was, you know, I'm going to start with you, Rob, kind of throwing out your top, your top five sinners in the game here. We'll jump around and see if this is going to be an interesting show. Tell us what you think about this, Rob. What you got for top five? And we'll go from there.
Well, we're going to give the big uglies a little love. They don't get a lot of credit, but I think, you know, I think anybody that really understands the game of football knows that a lot of times the games are won in the trenches. So we're going to talk about some of the top offensive linemen, defensive linemen, and even other defensive players too, linebackers, corners, all of the above, which is probably going to spill over into our OT portion. So I'm going to start off with the top five centers in my opinion. I'm going to start off with Marquise Pouncey, the center from the Pittsburgh Steelers. This guy has been a star ever since he's been in college at Florida. He's the most consistent center in the game today, very steady. He anchors that Steelers offensive line. Number two in the world with Chris Myers, I think, with the Houston Texans. I think Houston has one of the more underrated offensive lines in the league, and Chris Myers is a big reason for that. And he's perfect for that zone blocking scheme that the Houston Texans like to run as well. Number three, I'm going to go Max Unger, a real physical center, Seattle Seahawks center, you know, opening the lanes for Marshawn Lynch. So I think he's a very underrated guy as well. John Sullivan will be number four, Pro Bowl center for the Minnesota Vikings. Also, you know, making headway for, you know, Adrian Peterson as well. And then another Pouncey at number five. This would be Mike Pouncey with the Miami Dolphins, another team. Even though they lost Jake Long, still has a very solid physical offensive line. Mike Pouncey will round out my top five centers.
Well, I like it, man. Very, very, very good job here as far as what's going on with that. Right now, I mean, you hit a lot of the guys that I was thinking of, too, and I like it, too. Let's keep it moving. Like I said, I like the fact that we're showing the big uglies a lot of love and stuff like that. I'm glad you didn't do the 100 hottest cheerleaders, Rob, but, you know, we're keep moving, too. I just got a quick question about, and I know I hate to kind of segue out of this, but somebody just texted me about what did you think about, I know we're going to get to a little later, but I guess they were real excited about the topic as far as Johnny Manziel. They wanted to know if you think everything that's going on is definitely going to hurt his draft status, too. So I just got that text in, and we'll jump back into really rating the players and stuff like that, too. So they wanted to kind of figure out. Kind of taking a quick position out of here. If you thought everything that's going on with him, is that going to affect his draft stock? And then also, where do you think he's going to project on the next level?
Well, I think that's an excellent question. So we want to definitely thank our listeners for sending in that question. As far as Johnny Manziel is concerned, prior to this, you know, he was still a bottom. He was probably ranked number 25 on my board going into the draft next year. So more like looking at like a late first-round pick. A dynamic college player, no doubt about it, but he's not a top-five NFL prospect. Obviously, everyone's number one pick right now is Jadeveon Clowney, defensive end from South Carolina. He's a no-brainer number one pick in his draft as of right now. Obviously, this could drop Manziel a little bit. He's going to get a lot of scrutiny, a lot of questions about his maturity. And anytime you're drafting somebody at the quarterback position, you know, you're going to have a lot of questions, you know, maturity. I mean, those guys are going to make the big bucks, and you want to make sure if you're going to hand out over, you know, your quarterback position over to your, you know, hand out that quarterback position in your franchise, you want to make sure that they're solid upstairs, strong maturity level, you know, can obviously play the game, of course. And so it's going to be a lot of scrutiny with Manziel. So I can see him possibly dropping to, you know, the early second round. But prior to all of these instances, he was a late first rounder in my book.
Late first rounder. I agree with you. I think definitely it's a situation where you had a guy in that we always talk about, you know, maybe certain times, you know, freshmen getting the Heisman. and sometimes, you know, they may have gotten a lot of success too early. And I definitely think this is the case, Rob. I think where, you know, the maturity level has always been questioned. But, you know, he's only been around for one full season starting. So now he really has to get a chance to have people are going to have film on him. So he's going to have to adapt. And that's just how it is in the NFL, Rob. You know, if you become great and at that time people are going to figure out your tendencies, people are going to figure out what your weaknesses are, and that's another level if you're able to maturate yourself and kind of grow and get even better. So, you know, as a young player, he's a young kid at this time, but, you know, you definitely hope that he's going to learn from this lesson. He can take that and kind of learn from this and become a leader on that team as opposed to, you know, kind of doing the things that he's been doing right now. So it's very, very disappointing whenever he could have had the opportunity to definitely make his mark on the franchise too. You know, we'll talk about that a little bit later. Maybe he may sit a little bit, you know, as far as, you know, coming into the next season. But right now there's a lot of different things going on, so I think it's kind of tough for Mansell. But, you know, we'll see how he projects to the next level. Right now he has to grow, and I think this is going to be a telling year for him moving forward too. So, anyway, I apologize. I digress. We're going to keep it moving to let's talk about some top guards, Rob. I thought I'd refer to you once again, kind of see how you got. And we'll keep moving.
Yeah, we're going to start off with the offensive guard position with Mike Iupati, offensive guard from the 49ers. And this is, once again, a very strong offensive line, very strong in the interior as well. And Iupati is a big reason for that. Very solid line up there in San Francisco. And Iupati is the anchor of that line. Andy Lavertre, the center for the Tennessee Titans. You got to go with him with the number two spot. Be opening up holes for Chris Johnson. They expect him to bounce back this year as well. Marshall Yanda, offensive guard for the Baltimore Ravens, number three.
Who?
Big
what?
Reason,
who is that?
Marshall Yanda. Hey, man, do your homework.
No,
big reason
I'm
for,
you
know,
yeah,
big reason for Ray Rice's success up there in Baltimore. And number four, kind of dropped off slightly a little bit last year, Jairi Evans, New Orleans Saints. He had been ranked number one offensive guard in the league for a while, but I got him down to number four right now. And one of the most versatile guards who can even slide over and play a little tackle in the passing game sometimes too. And Logan Mankins, number five, New England Patriots, also has been a physical road grader for years, even though he's kind of got into it with the Patriots front office a few times. But when he's on the field, he's dominant.
Wow, this is we're keeping it moving here. Love this. Once again, I love the fact that Rob is taking the time to break down some. And you know, I'm giving you a hard time too, as far as you know, saying
Marshall,
stuff like that.
Who
too,
is that?
No, it's good, man. So you know, we're gonna keep it moving too. Let's talk about some tackles, offensive tackle. It's always a situation where you get you're protecting the quarterback, you know, as far as the whether you're protecting the blind side or whatever. Let's jump to the I'm going to go ahead and jump into that. Anything? I'm curious to see if you have any rookies or any young players for the tackles here. So keep it moving, sir.
Well, obviously this was a very strong rookie class as far as offensive tackles are concerned. So you're definitely going to see a few of those guys make this top five in the future. But obviously not just yet. No rookies in this top five. Number one, I'm going to go with the guy who's very underrated. I talked about the Houston Texans offensive line being very strong and very underrated. And Dwayne Brown is my number one offensive tackle in the league. Very versatile, moves his feet really well, protects Matt Schaub's blind side, even strong in his own blocking scheme. He's the number one offensive tackle in the game, in my opinion. A close number two is Ryan Clady, Denver Broncos. This guy's a physical beast, dominant. He's huge, over 6'6", you know, 300-something pounds, moves very well, protects Peyton Manning or any quarterback blind side. He plays at a left tackle position. And I think he's a close number two. And I'll tell you, right up there is Joe Thomas. Even though he's not on a good team, but he's one of the better left tackles in the game, the Cleveland Browns. This guy is very good, very versatile, great feet. He's got long arms. He's got great extension to keep those defensive linemen away. And prototype offensive tackle as well. I talked about the 49ers offensive line A big reason of that, number four, Joe Staley, another dominant offensive lineman on that 49ers offensive line. And number five, even though he moved organizations over the offseason, Jake Long from Miami going over to St. Louis, he'll still be very dominant. Doesn't have prototype long arms for a left tackle, but he's very strong, moves his feet really well as well.
I like it, Rod. You're doing a good job, sir. We got about 4 minutes to go. We're having fun on the thoughts and numbers real quick. For those that want to call on the show, give us your top five. Tell us how we're doing. 424-243-9519 is the number. Also, don't forget to check us out via Twitter, via Facebook. I know we've been getting a lot of great feedback as far as that. I've been getting like a lot of good texts, Rob. I'm trying to answer texts as we move along, too, as we're going along. And I guess let's keep it moving here. Let's talk about – we're going to move a little bit to the defensive side. Warren Sapp was probably one of the greatest. I know he was just inducted to the Hall of Fame. His position was the defensive tackle. What do you think about this, some top fives for the defensive tackle here?
Well, this is a position I think I had a little bit of fun with. Number one, I'm still going to keep Vince Wilfork at the number one position. For a guy his size, about 350 pounds, he's real nimble on his feet. He's, you know, almost impossible to block. And, you know, he's still been an anchor of that Patriot defensive line for many years. But I tell you, a guy who I had a hard time putting at number two, who in a lot of people's mind is the number one defensive tackle in the game, Geno Atkins. Geno Atkins, defensive tackle from Cincinnati. You talk to many pro scouts around the league, and most of them consider him the number one defensive tackle in the league. I still kept Wilfork number one, Geno Atkins number two. I mean, this guy is a pass-rushing defensive tackle in a 3-4-3 defense, can also stop the run. And, you know, look for him to get a big contract this year. Cincinnati is going to try to do everything they can to keep him off the free agency market. He's going to get a huge contract any day now. Number three, Alade Nagata. This is a guy that's been anchoring that 3-4 defense for the Ravens for also many years right now. And a guy that the New Orleans Saints could have easily took over Reggie Bush in 2006 as well. And this guy's been dominant controlling that defensive line for the Ravens. One of the reasons why the Ravens are not concerned about who they're going to replace Ray Lewis with, just because Nagata is still going to be there as well. Number four, Gerald McCoy, defensive tackle. He's got great pass rushing skills. He's really coming into his own now with the Tampa Bay Bucks. And number five, a guy who just completely just shuts down the middle for the Green Bay Packers 3-4 defense, B.J. Raji. This guy's also, you know, a poor man's Vince Wilfork as well. He's in that mode.
Wow, the big uglies. We're keeping it moving. Rob, we got about 2 minutes, sir. Go ahead and set up the show for the OT portion. As we've been having fun here, if you want to set that up, that's great. We'll keep it moving as far as our rankings for some top players.
Yeah, if you guys want to listen to the rest of our rankings, we're going to be going to our OT portions, which unfortunately you can't hear it live. But tomorrow, if you're on your lunch break, anything like that, you can catch it. Click on the same link and you can listen to our OT portion. We still got some great information. This also could help people that, you know, play in fantasy leagues where you can draft defensive players, which there are some fantasy leagues out there. So this should be some great information that can help you guys out in those leagues as we're covering these defensive players in our OT portion. Next week, we probably will be on Wednesday night again. And that's something I haven't even talked to Andre about yet, but hopefully we'll be back on Wednesday night or next week. That'll be 10 Eastern. I got my times all mixed up here, people. 11 Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific. That will be 5 p.m. for our good friends in Hawaii and 5 a.m. for our good friends in Germany. Any closing remarks, Andre?
Just want to thank everyone for listening to the show. I know we really appreciate Mr. Scott Rich for showing us some love. All of our texters out there, we really appreciate you guys showing us some love. I had some texts from the 678 as well as the 70770, so we appreciate that as well. Keep it going. Don't forget listening to the OT portion of the show. As Rob mentioned, I think we're going to do it Wednesday. We'll check and see. We'll get back to you as far as that, as always, but that's what we're going on. Anything else you want to say, Rob, before we get ready to jump into the OT portion?
That's it, people. Make sure you click on that link tomorrow. Listen to this OT portion. Good night, people.
Good night, people. And that is how we do it. Another successful show in the books. But let's keep it going here. I definitely like what's going on here. As far as we're giving a lot of love to the big uglies, to the defensive lines, offensive lines, and we're going to keep moving as well. You know, I noticed that you didn't put Ndamukong Suh in there. Is there a particular reason why you didn't put him in? Or, you know, tell me some thoughts about that. So I thought it was good. I had that as a play that I was thinking as far as that. What did you think as far as how come he's not in there? Or is there a particular reason why? Or what?
Well, I thought his play dropped off some last year. If you look at the tape of, you know, a lot of his games, and also the Detroit Lions as a team dropped off last year. You know, the year before that, they were in the playoffs as a wild card. I think there were quite a few players on the team where their level of play dropped off, and I thought Ndamukong Suh was one of them. I have him number 7 on my list, so he just missed the top 5. I have Randy Starks with the Dolphins, number 6, and I have Ndamukong Suh at number 7. But I did think his play kind of dropped off some last year, and maybe he'll get it back up. You know, I know he and Nick Fairley are talking a lot of trash. They're going to be the best defensive tackle tandem in the league. So we'll see about that, which they are capable of doing.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, just there's, you know, this is why it's fun to kind of go in there and kind of compare and get some options here. But let's keep it going. We're going to jump into some defensive ends, and who do we have? Who we got for top 5 for this?
Well, I tell you, number 1 is a no-brainer, and I think he's the best defensive player in the game right now, and that's J.J. Watt.
J.J. Watt. You like it?
He's a pass rushing specialist. He can get to the quarterback. And if he doesn't get to the quarterback, he's going to bat your ball down at the line of scrimmage. So he's going to have he's going to impact the game in a lot of areas. And he'll even intercept a pass or two here as well. So he's going to impact the game in a lot of areas. And I tell you, this was a heck of a draft pick by the Houston Texans to get him in the middle of the first round at the level he's playing at. In my opinion, he's by far the best defensive player in the game today and definitely the best defensive end as well. I tell you, guy at number 2, Jason Pierre-Paul, New York Giants. Now, this guy is a tremendous athlete. You know, this is a guy that probably going to be a power forward in the NBA with his athleticism, you know, and a tremendous pass rusher. And I think he has the ability to impact the game the same way J.J. Watt does. So look out for Pierre-Paul as well. And number 3, you know, even though he's getting into his 30s, I think he's still playing at a high level, and that's Julius Peppers. And obviously, you know, back in his heyday, tremendous athlete as well, played college basketball. I think he's still getting it done, stops to run and plays to pass. Even in his 30s, still playing at a high level. Number 4, another 49er, Justin Smith. Even though he's a 3-4 defensive end now, he holds down that running game as well as still gets at the quarterback as well. And number 5, underrated guy who a lot of people don't know, a great pass rusher for the Miami Dolphins, and that is Cameron Wake.
I like it, man. Good stuff, man. I like where your head's at, man. I think it's great, man. Man, good. Good mix. I mean, I like how you had Auden Smith. I like how you had J.J. Watt in there. Definitely some players that we recognize. Defensive end, I'm surprised you didn't put Mario Williams in there. I'm just joking. I'm leaving you on that. I'm just joking.
I think his game has been falling off a little bit, but I still have number 7, though. I have Calais Campbell at number 6 for the Arizona Cardinals, Mario Williams at number 7.
I was just joking, America, by the way. I'm not trying to dunk. Please don't come after me. It's definitely a big-time joke here. So we're going to keep moving. Let's talk about this is great as far as inside linebackers. I know a lot of this has been interesting because we've been, you know, flipping back and forth between, you know, the 4-3 and the 3-4. You know, this can kind of go. You know, we had a situation where, you know, obviously one of the greater ones has retired in Ray Lewis, so I know there's a guy that I'm going to throw out there, probably number 1. It's probably going to be Patrick Willis is probably number 1, but I'm curious to hear the other ones here as far as who you have rated as we keep moving here as well. Who do you got, sir?
Well, you said it. I have Patrick Willis number one as well, the best inside linebacker in the game. So we both agree on that. Number two, I'm going to record another 49er, Navarro Bowman. It seems like it's not fair for one team to have the two best inside linebackers on one team, but in my opinion, the 49ers do with Bowman and Willis. Number three, Darrell Washington, very underrated guy with the Arizona Cardinals. At the inside linebacker position, he roams the field really well, makes a lot of tackles. He's a playmaker. Another guy who's been in the league for quite some time now, and it seems like he's getting better with age, is Derek Johnson, inside linebacker for the Kansas City Chiefs. And one of the reasons why I like this Chiefs team, they got a lot of playmakers on that defense. And I think they should be a lot better this year if they can get some consistent offensive game going. And number five, when he's on the field, he's a dominant player, and it's Brian Cushing, the Houston Texans. A physical specimen as well, and dominant inside linebacker if they can keep him on the field.
I like it. I like it. So outside linebackers, man, back in the day, man, you used to have some craziness as far as this was almost the big-time glamour position. I'm going to go with a couple of people I kind of put down and kind of see here because this is kind of like we're going off. I got number one. I've got Clay Matthews on number one. Kind of a tight one because I could have gone him or Von Miller, obviously for the Broncos. I like DeMarcus Ware. I like Brian Arakpo, and I like James Harrison. That's what I had in my top five. I'm curious to hear who you had just because, we'll have some fun with that too. So there you go.
Well, we agree on a few of those names. I have number one, DeMarcus Ware, of course. I think he's still the best outside linebacker pass rusher. Even though he's really changing positions this year, he's on a defensive end, but I still have him down as an outside linebacker, rush linebacker. And he's still probably the best in the game at that position. And Von Miller, like you said, this guy's coming on. He's on pace to break a lot of sacks record if you keep going at the pace he's going. Even though he may be suspended these first four games of the season. I know he's appealing. Clay Matthews, you said it, number three. He's another guy that's quick. He gives a lot of offensive tackles, many problems. He gets around them with great leverage. And Aldon Smith, number four, even though he's a one-dimensional outside linebacker, he doesn't stop the run that well, but he's a heck of a pass rusher. I mean, this is a guy that can get 13 to 15 sacks a season. And unfortunately, another 49er on here, too. It goes to show you why they were in the Super Bowl. The team's got a lot of talent. Number five, Terrell Suggs, I think, still getting it done, even though he's getting into his 30s, I'm sorry, not 80s. but Terrell Suggs, I think, still getting it done at the outside linebacker position as well.
You mentioned Brian Arakpo.
I have him number eight. I have Lance Briggs six. Jared Mayo, number seven. And I think you mentioned there was another player you mentioned too, I believe.
James Harrison.
Yeah, I don't even have him in the top 15 anymore.
I don't know. I thought he was kind of playing. He's crazy, man. He called me and wanted me to. No, I'm joking. It is what it is, man. This is good stuff, man. I just kind of – it's tough, too, because like I said, I thought I could have put Aldon Smith as a defensive end slash – outside linebacker, you could have gone either or. That's why I was talking about the difference between 3-4 and the 4-3. But I definitely would have put him either as a defensive end or as an outside linebacker. But either or, definitely causing havoc doing his thing too. So let's keep it moving, sir. This could have been an interesting position to grade as far as the top five for the cornerbacks. This was pretty tough, man, because right now, The cornerback position is changing a lot. I'm kind of curious as far as if we got some youngsters here, if Darrell Revis is going to be as part of this list. I mean, I know he's had a reputation of being a top corner. I know the injury kind of set him back. I'm kind of curious if you got Richard Sherman in the list, all that fun stuff. Brandon Flowers, possibly, but let's see who you got as far as your top five for the quarterback position.
I still have Revis number one. I know he's coming off an injury.
Interesting.
Okay. Until proven otherwise, I think as far as technician-wise, he has all the fundamentals down pack, and if he's healthy, I'm sure it won't be a that big of adjustment to stay at that level. Richard Sherman, I think, is the one guy who could overtake Revis. I have him at number two. He's got long arms, great size for the cornerback position. Number three, I tell you another guy who seems like he's getting better with age, and that's Charles Tillman, the Chicago Bears. I think he had a phenomenal season. Fundamentally sound as well. May not be the best athlete at corner, but he does all the right things fundamentally. And I think the guy that's on the rise is Joe Hayden, cornerback for the Cleveland Browns. I have number four, tremendous corner. And number five, another guy who's on the rise is Patrick Peterson, former LSU Tiger, by the way, Arizona Cardinals. He just impacts the game. And if he gets his hands on the ball with an interception, he can take it to the house. And so he's my number five corner.
Like it. Let's talk about safety. Safety's definitely impacted the game a lot. There's some players for the cornerbacks, too. I thought so it has an honorable mention, Jonathan Joseph. Chant Bailey, maybe Aaron Rodgers, a little behind, Carlos Rodgers, excuse me. Players that played well in that system, too. But, you know, we'll keep moving as it is. Let's talk about the safeties here. And the safeties, like we talked about, as we got 4 minutes left in the show, I want to throw my five out here. I'm just going to be quick here. I got Troy Polamalu, Ed Reed, Earl Thomas, Deshaun Goldston, and Adrian Wilson. That's who I had for some safeties here. Could go either or, but I'll throw it back to Mr. Rodport to see who you have for your top five there.
Yeah, those are some good names, too. Number one, I have Earl Thomas. I think the Seahawks team's got one of the better secondaries in the league, and he's a big reason of it, along with Richard Sherman. But Earl Thomas is a playmaking safety, and he is my number one safety in the game. Another guy, number two, very underrated, but he's always almost near league-leading in interceptions.
Jarius Bird?
Yeah, Jarius Bird, absolutely. He's underrated playing up there in Buffalo, but this guy has a knack for getting footballs, for getting interceptions. He just makes plays. Number three, Eric Berry, the Kansas City Chiefs. I talked about the talent Chiefs have on defense. He's one of the reasons why, and he's also a playmaking safety. Number four, another guy you don't hear a lot of, but he's very physical safety. And say he's not very, large in stature, and it's Eric Weddle with the San Diego Chargers. And last but not least, another safety that's very underrated. You don't hear about him a lot because of the team he's on, and that's T.J. Ward. Of the Cleveland Browns.
T.J. Ward's mother must have definitely emailed the show to get him on there, but, it is what it is. We'll keep moving, which I like it. I'm just joking.
Got to watch.
Let's talk about some kick returners, Rob. I think this is kind of a good mix of four. I'm not really enthused about the top five kickers and the punters, man, so I don't even know why you put that on there, man. I'm trying to, stall here, but...
You missed out on hearing one of your Falcons' main names.
That's not going to touch me anymore. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
But the kick return is you got to go with Jacoby Jones, number one. Fellow New Orleanian, Baltimore Ravens. He even shined in the Super Bowl. Yes, shines in the Super Bowl. I have him as the number one kick returner in the NFL right now. Leotis McKelvin, Buffalo Bills. Yeah, I have him at number two. Number three, Marcus Stigpen, the Miami Dolphins. Number four, Randall Cobb, another explosive kick returner. And a guy who was maybe falling off a little bit, but I still have him in the top five, and that's Devin Hester, the Chicago Bears.
I still think Devin Hester still strikes a little fear in your hearts, man. I like him. I had Randall Cobb in there too. Definitely, I had Dance with the Stars, Jacoby Jones. What about Joshua Cribbs, man? Anything about him? I mean, anything about him? What are your thoughts?
He was one that was hard to keep off, and also another one, fellow LSU, the track star. It was hard to keep him off the list as well.
Love it, love it, love it. We got about a minute left, Rob. Let's go ahead and move on and talk about next week, all that fun stuff, as we had I did a good job of stalling here. Let's talk about that as we get ready to wrap up the show.
Once again, people, we'll be back on next Wednesday night, 11 Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific, 5 p.m. Hawaiian, 5 a.m. in Germany. Once again, join us next week. We're still winding down to the start of football season. Hopefully we can start getting this college football preview here real soon as well. Start talking about some predictions, some of the major conferences in our national championship predictions. Hopefully we'll start to get into that really soon. Any closing remarks, Andre?
Thanks for listening in, folks. See you guys next week. Same time, same channel. Good night, people.
Good night, America.